Blog Talk Radio. Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post, and myself, Gwendolyn Berry from Roundtree7S7.com. This is the Sunday show on Hear Me Monsters. Welcome to it. Right with you. As a matter of fact, right now, welcome to the show. And I always have to remember, and I never do, to thank the Allman Brothers for Eat a Peach. It made a little intro for us. Hi, Jack. How are you this week?
Doing well, Gwen, and hello to all the listeners and all our guests, which will be with us shortly. And wish you all the best on this mid-November Sunday.
Yes, we're coming up on Turkey Day, as my mom used to say, something about Thanksgiving. And I know the easy thing to do is to understand and be very aware that Thanksgiving is a holiday celebrated on the bones of cruelty and genocide committed against First Nations by basically my ancestors. And I look at that and acknowledge it and respect it. I also have a family tradition, and most of the people I grew up with who truly give Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day, and so do I. Mm-hmm. So I'm mindful of it. And
Very well put, Gwen.
I really, really do think we have so much to be grateful for. We really do. There are shifts going on. However, it's Sunday. This is the Sunday show, and there's a lot of bullshit out there swinging, and we have an
There seems to be no shortage.
The crap just keeps coming. But we have a wonderful guest with us. The producer of Air Amartafio is Ra, or Ruthanne Amartafio. And she knows a lot about the Palestinian cause, and she's right on top of it, and I'll let her tell her tale.
Great.
Ruthanne, thank you for being with us today, really, big time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hi, Ruthanne. Good to hear from
Jack.
You.
Yeah,
hi,
Jack. Yeah, well, my heart is always on my sleeve about Palestine, so, you know.
Well, yeah.
My feelings are out there, and I've been spending my time crying today. Not just today, but, I mean, there were some extra things that happened. You know, it just, it brings back Castled, it brings back the Mavi Marmara, all of these things that our government here in the United States did absolutely nothing about. In fact, you know, we're sending, what, $3 million a day to Israel? You know, we're supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just absolutely, well, it's horrible. I don't know. You know, we feel so helpless.
Yeah. Well, it kind of flies in the face of what this country is supposed to be all about.
Well,
and,
supposed to be, yeah.
Right, exactly, but really isn't, you know, in many ways.
Was it ever, Jack? This is.
It makes you wonder.
Well, that's it. I've been doing so much soul searching. You know, this isn't the country I grew up in, as far as I know. But was it really like this?
Well.
And you just didn't know?
Well, you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been a complicated issue, really, since the creation of the State of Israel. You know,
right, it was land stolen to begin with.
Yeah, you know, there was much deserved sympathy for the plight of the plight of the worldwide Jewish community following the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, and the there's much sympathy, especially here, for the creation of a Jewish state. You know,
but that was because this country did not want the European Jews to settle here. I
Good
mean,
point.
It was, and
there
and
was a
neither did Britain. So they had
to
support. You've got to put them someplace. Was the thought.
Right.
Yeah, it was based on a lot of guilt, and the Brits pushed those people into Palestine. That's
because they didn't want them at home. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And the United States even turned away a ship of Jewish immigrants.
Over the great consternation and the huge amount of protests from one Elizabeth, I'm sorry, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I mean, she would have gone to the docks and tied the bow line for him.
Right.
Yeah.
The United States and the governments of the Western world did not want these Jewish refugees. And I say the reason is because, you know, Ra brings up a huge point here. Has it been the country we thought it was? I mean, has it ever been the country I thought it was? Or my mother thought it was, because basically, why would we turn a boatload of refugees from what we ourselves and our military considered unspeakable atrocity when they came upon it? Why would we turn these people away? There's nothing for it but a racism, some kind
of... at least I never learned that in school. You guys didn't either.
No, exactly. Say, Rob, why don't you... Why don't you define for your for our listeners where you come from and how you've become so involved with and acquainted with the Palestinian issue?
Where I come from. Well, before, when my head was stuck up my ass, like a lot of people's, you know, I mean, I knew things were going on in the world, but I was too busy worrying about my own little world.
Sure.
9/11 was one of those shocks for me, and for a little while, I still remained in that position because after all, this is America, blah, 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 blah. And we would never do anything. We couldn't have known. Our government couldn't have known anything about this. And when people were telling me, you know, to try a different position, finally I did, and things started making sense. And I did quite a bit of research and study. And then... you know, that you have near-death experiences and your life changes and something like that. Similar happened to me. It wasn't, well, it could have been death, but it wasn't. But I was laid up in the hospital and, you know, having time to think and different things happened. And and that was before the Mavi Memoir. But, I mean, I was aware of all that. That was the final straw for me. So it's only been like 2.5 years. But, I mean, that totally finished me. Because I thought, okay, the United States cannot let this happen in international waters. And with a dual citizen, a young man who's, American and Turkish. And they let it. Nothing was said. Nothing was done. And a lot of people, it seems like that was a turning point, I mean, that really flipped them over.
Well, you know, we like we were discussing earlier, we had a great sympathy in this country for a number of reasons, but, you know, we basically decided that the Jews, if they wanted to go to their ancestral homeland, they should go there unimpeded. They should be able to set up their own state, which they did in 1948. And I guess the fact that they were immediately attacked by their Arab and Palestinian neighbors at that point put us on this course forever, seemingly, that we were going to be pro-Israel and defend them at all costs, you know, literal and otherwise. And we've been locked in that treadmill ever since.
Well, the thing was, Britain was in there, and after, actually, you know, I live in Illinois. Chicago's Mayor Rahm Emanuel's father was one of the Zionists that attacked the Hotel David. Or had something to do with that. So it wasn't just that it was freely given. Eventually, though, Britain turned over the running of it, whatever, and said, okay, we're out of here after that. But this was not theirs to give anyway. It didn't belong to Britain. It belonged to
Well, they grabbed it as a result of prior military acquisitions, you know, conflicts, and they came to dominate Palestine and in Israel, you know, earlier in the century.
But people had gotten along.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's always a little this or that, but the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews, from everything I've read, they were fine as neighbors.
Yeah, right, that's right.
But then when you start telling people, okay, you know, I mean, actually just taking over their homes, they're going to be mad, burning their orchards, and they're still doing this.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So you can't expect somebody to just meekly fold up and go, and, you know, that there's some of the older people, and they pass some of them on down to the younger people now. They have keys, and this just tears me up, but they have keys for the homes that they were thrown out of. And
isn't that terrible?
Some of those homes are still there with settlers in them, but they keep hoping, and they have the key to their family.
You know, it's kind of analogous to what early American settlers, in their push westward, did to indigenous communities all across America here.
We
made one agreement after another with the American Indians and the Native Americans, and we broke every single one of them.
Yes.
We pushed them away, killed them, murdered them, you know, forced
them
into tiny
blankets. I mean, every conceivable way.
Introducing
the white man's liquor to them.
Right.
Them, but I've got Native blood in me. But anyway, I mean, there was a lot. And it's happened other places.
Sure.
I think, you know, we've had other Holocausts. It's not just the one against the people in Germany.
Exactly.
I mean, the Armenians, there's been many.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But you guys, there is this thing. There is this white hot light on the Jewish state.
Yes.
That says, you know, they're the scapegoat for humanity. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who were, you know, done the worst to for, you know,
that's
this white hot light on them because of the Nazi atrocities.
Yeah,
and
I
would bring it up. I would stand in their Knesset and ask them how there's a difference between that 1939, I think they called it the Anschluss, where the Nazis just expanded into Austria and walked
right
in and into Poland.
Uh-huh.
And where is the difference here? And they might not have concentration camps, but they have prisons, and they've made Gaza a large prison.
Right.
Yeah, they've imprisoned people in their own areas. They've forced them into small areas that they've taken away their homes. They've done all kinds of these butcherous acts, and they're not as severe, perhaps, as what the Nazis did to the Jews in Germany. But regardless, they're still horrible acts, and they're still reprehensible.
Well, and you know, this whole chosen people thing just makes me, But where do they
think? We're all chosen people here.
Exactly. We are.
Well, that dates back into biblical phraseology.
Do but
chosen
the
people
Zionists,
take personal responsibility for themselves.
Right.
That's
and
the chosen
people have to keep remembering Zionism is not a religion, and we are not anti-Semitic. These Zionists.
Well, it's an imperialistic movement.
Exactly. It's a movement. 1896, Theodore, I believe it was 1896, got this rolling. It could have been even before. I mean, he was having these ideas. But it's totally a movement.
Uh-huh.
But yet they play on it as a religion, and they've got some Jewish people convinced.
Well, they've got a very strong Jewish lobby in this country. Very much so, that has helped perpetrate you know, conception of the Jews as being victims and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's face it, they were victims during World War II. And in the
so
immediate
the
early years of their the
so
state
were the
of Israel.
So were
right.
the Catholics. So were the
gays.
Yeah,
very true,
I mean,
very true.
It's not,
right.
you know, that's, it's just, I'm so tired of that Holocaust card being played.
Sure.
Constantly.
Right.
And, you know, say that even some of the numbers, which we know were lies, but even if they were true, how does that make it okay for these Zionists to do this to the Palestinians?
Well, it makes it even all the more reprehensible for them to be doing it.
Exactly.
They should know better, shouldn't they?
Compassionate, right.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Their grandparents, their parents were there.
Yes.
Yes, then you show compassion.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It's not the case. And
they've
mean,
just shown more barbarism is what they've shown.
Exactly. Yeah, barbarism. But there are Orthodox Jews, your rabbis, you see in this country
mm-hmm.
and a few others who are mm-hmm. really out there saying that this is all wrong. And, I mean, they'll say that the Israelis are not supposed to have a country of their own because
yeah.
they're from the text, you know.
Well, even even that one leftist professor, I forget his name now, David something, or I can't remember, kind of a blonde-haired fellow. I saw it on Link TV. I forget his name, but he's been just vilified and raked over the coals for exposing the aggression that Zionists have done to the Palestinian peoples. And he's argued vehemently against what the policies that Israel has adopted. And it's gotten him very little following in the Jewish community, but
yeah.
he's one of the lonely people that are out there kind of speaking truth to power, so to
yeah.
speak.
There are some people in Israel who do know, and actually it's not just the internationals that go into the West Bank and march every Friday in Berlin and other places. Some
mm-hmm.
of the Israelis that live there nearby go also, and I'm so proud
yeah.
of them because
yeah.
you know they're
yeah,
really standing for the right.
The
majority of Israelis, I don't think, are for this kind of brutality and cruelty, and so they're living in a pressured state of
mm-hmm.
affairs too.
Right.
Can you imagine waking up in Israel every day with the cruelty and hearing bombs going off so close to you, which
mm-hmm.
In many cases they do with this.
Well,
yeah. War.
Well, it's such a very tiny little country.
Right,
it
exactly.
You know, yeah, you look it up on the map. And now, I have a Jewish friend. Well, he's a Facebook friend, and I've interviewed him. And he seems like such a nice man. He lives right outside of Jerusalem. But yet, he is so blind. Now, he's not a cruel person, but he doesn't really believe what's really going on because
right.
he's been so brainwashed. And I asked him, I said, have you been in Gaza? Well, he was there like 20 years ago. But he just
mm-hmm.
looks at this as something that everybody has to get through because he's waiting for the Messiah. And
yeah,
he'll put scripture to me. And
yeah.
it's, you know, so
is,
it's
is
just
he a,
sort of
is he a Likud member?
That's
is he a member of the Likud party?
I do not know.
I would suspect he might be.
Okay. I'll see.
Regardless.
Jack, Ruzanne, yeah. Explain the Likud party.
Well,
Jack,
it's the conservative
you know,
wing.
Yeah.
It's the Israeli Republicans, so to speak. the very conservative, kind of paranoid sect that believes they're surrounded by enemies and that they've got to be on guard all the time and they've got to do preemptive strikes, and you know they've been very successful over the years.
Mm. I would think maybe he isn't. I mean, he really doesn't like. Well, he's actually just in denial
that
this is going on because he, even though he's on Facebook and things, he just doesn't believe anything but what the Zionist press pumps out.
Oh, okay.
And you know, so it's very
okay.
hard. He just. Or he thinks maybe
he's just
something
kind of
happened.
In denial, and it isn't affecting him personally, so he
yeah.
just dismisses it,
yeah.
kind of, huh?
Right.
That
he
sounds like a lot of America.
Please, it sounds the same.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of
Americans. How happy Palestinians
do.
Are. And
yeah.
It's like,
you know,
what are you talking about?
Right.
It's
right.
Listening to Fox News here and
yes,
what
right.
they
yeah.
people
mm-hmm.
to make
exactly.
their heads. People are stunned by this Romney loss.
Oh.
And,
I know.
How off Fox News was, and
no.
they still. A lot of people are still not putting it together. You
no,
know,
they're idiots. They're people that only follow the same stuff every week. They don't look around at different sources.
Right.
They don't evaluate what's really out there in the world. They only take one line of thought, and they're amazed when something doesn't go along with it or something refutes it. They just can't believe it, and they're shell shocked. And that's exactly what's happened to the whole party. The whole Republican
yeah.
Party.
Right, right. They're still stunned.
Yeah.
That's so. And but did you notice? I mean, Netanyahu, man, he was practically crawling to try to make up with Obama.
Oh yeah, well he knew where his butter was bread. Or his bread was buttered.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. I mean that was funny to see because I mean,
he thought for sure that Romney was going to get into the White House and he'd have smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden, oops!
Iran, what, January 21st? This was
case of Netanyahu listening to Fox News too. And I got to tell you, that's so stunning. It's so surprising because the Israeli government 25, 30 years ago, and especially their intelligence, which would be feeding the government with the political information.
Right.
The Mossad used to be the premier intelligence
agency. They were, weren't they? There was
they were
time.
Incredible. They were incredible.
They ain't so hot no more. Like the CIA. Mm-hmm. The CIA is probably number 50 on the hit scale. They get their damn info from CNN or Fox, who knows, MSNBC.
Right, yeah.
I mean, these folks over there are, what has happened to government? Is this just the general dissolving of leadership as we've known it for thousands of years? Are people actually beginning to get so confused that an eventual wake-up has to happen? I mean, you know, you've got to wonder at it all.
The Republicans have always claimed that government is the problem and not the solution, and that government is basically worthless. And when they've had the control, they've proved that theory. But, you know, we know otherwise because we've seen the government do great things over the years. We've seen it enact all the great social programs from the Great Depression. We've seen it enact Medicare. We've seen them enact under a Republican president in Congress a vast array of transnational highways, interstate highway system. Those were good. That was good side of the government. And all of a sudden, the Reaganites and the conservatives, which have followed, have just completely abandoned any theory of the government being worth a salt at all. And you know that's a real tragedy.
Well, They create more government.
They do.
Yeah. That's true.
They do create more government because it takes more government to funnel money in the directions they want it to go in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if it's not also because corporations, the multinationals, are more powerful now, and since they own the governments. You know, maybe that has something to do with the change too.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with it. Yeah, good point.
And I see this thing in Israel as basically falling under the same auspices because it's about Israel. And it's bottom line for money. They want that land in there, so that they can exploit the land, exploit it for whatever resources that Israeli citizens can have, and just strip it away from Palestinians. And it's not that much left. And that's the saddest part about this. This is the compassionless cruelty that Israel is showing to Palestinians right now.
And we've maintained they should know better.
I mean, right now, while they're murdering people, they're still expanding their settlements.
They are. That's right.
No, I wanted to tell you, in case you didn't know, that as of just before we went on the air, one of the counts is 77 murdered in the last few days, over 200 injured, 29 today.
Oh, that's horrible. That is just horrible.
If you remember, during Cast Lead, there was a family, a large family, that their name I think was Samari or something like that, who they had a compound kind of place, and the IDF or IOF had come, and they were shooting. I mean, it was Cast Lead, and they told everybody to get into this house, and they did. They thought they would be sheltered, and they shot it up, and they wouldn't let anybody out. People were in there with their dead relatives for 3 days before they could get out. And there was something like, I don't know, how many, 29 or 30 of them were killed out of maybe 70-some of this family.
You know, that's just savagery.
That is. But today, let me say, today, The numbers aren't that high, but in Gaza City, a home was hit, 10 people mm-hmm. killed, 8 were women and children. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 10 were women and children. There mm-hmm. were 12 people killed. The other 2 were neighbor men who were there. Now, this supposedly was because someone who might be in Hamas lived there. He wasn't even there.
Yeah.
This is that surgical strike that Israel's so
yeah.
proud of, right? That's
funny how the
problem.
Surgery ends up killing the patient more often than it doesn't.
Well,
you know? That's terrible.
And, you know, this whole thing also about Hamas, hey, I don't care whether people like them or not. They were legally elected.
They
but,
were. That's
yes,
very true.
Because
yes,
they don't kiss ass for the U.S., like the U.S. has done in South America and Central America,
mm-hmm.
gone in. If the dictators there wouldn't go along with the U.S., they would cause a disruption and replace them.
Right.
Well, you know, so if you don't play the game, and Hamas wasn't playing with the United States,
yep. Very
so
true.
Now then they're the terrorists. And
yeah, exactly.
They're all
yeah.
bad, even though they were legally elected.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, we've always, in this country, especially for well over the last century or so, we've always had to have a boogeyman that everybody
yes.
could identify as a bad person and a bad
yes.
movement and a bad entity. And
yes.
terrorists, are whatever their nationality, whatever their background is, they're the latest boogeyman. And we're
right.
using terrorism to describe all kinds of things that we just want to be involved in and we don't want anybody else involved in.
But Jack, that's how we've always elected leaders, especially
yeah.
In the majority of them, is they make you afraid of the other
side. Oh, exactly.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
how they push their way into power.
Yep.
This kind of
very
leadership
true.
Stop. It
yeah.
really has to be a stop. There, it really has to be stopped. People need
yeah.
to wake up. We need to have more conversations like these. We,
uh-huh.
you know, folks, it's and the social networking, no matter how bad it is for them to begin censorship, it
uh-huh.
still has a huge, I think, value.
It does.
In
it does.
Ability
yeah.
to create conversations. I mean,
yeah.
I gotta tell you, if I wasn't talking to my friends over in the Pakistanis room or in
uh-huh.
several other places, or looking at Roz's page and what she's
uh-huh.
posting,
uh-huh.
I would not know half of what is going on because I don't
uh-huh.
have time to scramble so hard. Especially
sure.
right.
for
you can't trust the American media for it, that's for sure.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Before we go getting described by many others as anti-Semitic and all that stuff, I think it's clear that we all agree that Israel's right to exist as a state is not in question. We accept the fact that Israel is a country that has borders that it needs to defend, et cetera, et cetera. What we're objecting to is not the existence of the state of Israel. We're objecting to Israel misbehaving inside of and outside of its borders under the guise of protecting itself.
Yeah, but
well,
Israel,
I'm definitely not anti-Semitic. I personally am.
Right.
I'm actually for a one-state solution because
yeah,
I don't know how it can work as a two-state because I'm
right.
reminded of Pakistan. If you remember
uh-huh.
years ago, they split Pakistan up into Pakistan
right. yeah.
and Bangladesh.
And East, and they couldn't
right.
do it. Right, so it became
right.
Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And I know that left to their own devices, the Israelis and, I mean, it may take a generation, whatever, maybe two, but
mm-hmm.
the Israelis and the Palestinians will be able to work things out. But
uh-huh.
as long as you have the West interfering and
uh-huh.
people like Netanyahu in office, who,
yeah.
let me ask you, do you think that this latest has come about because of his election coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Netanyahu's election?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm not, I hadn't
9
even considered
weeks or
that.
Something? Uh-huh.
Oh.
There's, I just thought they'd
uh-huh. I hope that young lady Kiki is out there running again.
Mm. There, I don't know who else. I did see the names, and I should have written them down because I wasn't familiar. But I did see that they are having to go along, or they think that they have to go along now with this attack on Gaza because
mm-hmm.
they think if they were to fight it back home, like it's, they're
oh,
not ready.
Oh, yeah, they've been getting, yeah, they've been getting manipulated against
mm-hmm.
their will and against
mm-hmm.
reality into going along with the accepted norm. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's played here in this state, too, in this country as well.
Oh, sure,
and,
sure.
It's a shame.
Politics are nasty.
Oh, yeah. They can't, people are compromising their principles all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
That's a great thought. I'll bet that has a lot to do with it.
I think it has some. I don't know how much, but I think there's something to it. Yeah.
I guess we'll find out in 5 weeks, huh? Definitely.
I think it's January, something January.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make any difference because he's got so much going on there.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if they vote him out.
You know, yeah.
He
held on to the prime ministership for a very long time.
Yeah.
In spite of times growing unease over its dictate, but you know, we'll see. You know, that deserves watching.
Well,
he
a lot of people
lost it the last election, though. You know,
he made the time. A lot of people are not happy with the economy. I mean, don't even, you know, even if Gaza wasn't on the board or Palestine, the economy, the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll see that they do several protests in Israel about those things. So, you know, it could happen.
Oh, yeah, it could.
But see, if he can get into something full-blown before that, the chances of them keeping him
would
because,
be greater then.
So,
yeah.
Just like they talk about here in this country, I believe we've never voted out a president if we were in a war.
In a war. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So that might have something to do with it.
It may very well. He may see that as a means for him to continue existing politically.
Isn't that lame?
Well,
I mean, isn't that disgusting that somebody would put their own whatever ahead of a whole people?
Well, but it happens. Unfortunately, it happens all the time.
Yeah,
it's standard with today's leadership. It's about what's good for me. It's about more.
Look at what Nixon did in Vietnam. I mean, it goes back even further than that, I'm sure, but. It's happening all the time, and not in just our country or Israel. It's happening everywhere. I mean,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's just unreal how what guys the depravity people will go to maintain power, to get or maintain power.
Yeah, and it's a power, and then of course, I mean, you know, they get right because they get bought off, paid off, whatever, in different ways. And it is amazing. But that's one of the things about the social media that. It has allowed us to talk to people in all these countries. And the thing is, we're finding, you know, we knew intellectually, now we know much more than that, that we're all going through the same kind of thing with governments that we don't trust, that we can't, you know, stand.
They lie to us.
It's like, right, they all lie to us. So it's the people worldwide against the governments, pretty much. And we're finding, I mean, people who are aware are into that, and so that's one of the things I think the alternative media, such as this, is doing a big service because we can be heard around the world, and are.
Yes, people come and they listen to the show and they say, they hear the conversation and they say, wow, they're aware we're not alone, or vice versa.
Well, they're getting, at the very least, they're getting an opportunity to hear divergent viewpoints different from the mass media that feeds them the same old pablum all the time.
Right.
And, you know, you get into discourses here that are deep and broad and very unlike what you hear on national TV, where they got to rush everything and, oh, we got to go to a commercial right now, and when we come back, we'll talk about this other thing instead, you know. I mean, I'm so sick of that format.
If it bleeds, it leads mentality. And on that note, I really would like to take one moment here. I'm keeping good to my commercials. I'd like to mention two shows that you really need to go listen to. You need to go check out our Air Amartafio over at Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And for with Ruth Ann and all of her guests. And also, last Friday, I'd like to mention last Friday, Diane G. had Noam Chomsky on, who was just back from Gaza, she did a show with him. It's well worth going over and listening to.
Why don't you spell out the names so that people can hear them correctly and know exactly where to go?
Okay, well, Wild Wild Left. Most people who listen to Hear Free Monsters know the Wild Wild Left, but it's the Wild Wild Left.
Okay.
At Diane G, that's the letter G. And go ahead, Ra, give them your call letters.
Ah, okay. Air Amarte Fio Radio, that's AIRAMARTEI, F is in Frank, IO, radio.
Great. Sounds great. Thank you so much for that. Because I was having a little difficulty hearing exactly how it might be pronounced so I can take a look at it too.
Yeah, we have some variety, and we do have a socialist show on Monday. Stuart Alexander, who did run for president of the Socialist Party USA, is the host. And so there's, you know, socialist views. And following him is somebody who is in the LDS Church. He's a Mormon. And so he's very, very open and interesting. So he has different things going on.
Well, good.
We have a lot of variety, though.
I commend you for that. That's great.
Yeah.
And there's also Progress Towards Democracy with Brian Stetton that
Ross does. We do that on Monday nights and Thursday nights, and we have some great guests on there. It's a 90-minute show. Brian and I started out, obviously, it's called Progress Toward Democracy because we still had some hope for something. You know, we're listed as progressives, but now we've both flipped over, and we're socialists. It's like it's all coming through now. I don't know if it's a reaction to this mess we're in, but we don't think that a Band-Aid's going to save the country.
Well, no,
So
we need some basic fundamental changes and not just reforms either.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So it makes it interesting. It's been a wild ride, but Blog Talk has done a lot, and Facebook, just these different things like we were talking. Today, a Facebook friend thanked me because he said that he now has much more of an idea of what's going on in Palestine because of things that I've posted and said and written to people. And so it's people are getting it, and I think social media is a great way to put the word out.
Well, it's certainly exerted its effect over the last couple of years, beginning with the Arab Spring, so to speak, and all
it's been just a little less
change.
Or a little over a year.
Arab Spring. Okay, Egypt. That was almost 2 years ago. That was in January.
Right.
Of 11. So. Or 10. 10? No, that was 11, January.
Would have been 11,
But, it'll be, so it'll be 13, But, and then after that came Occupy.
Yeah, Occupy,
you
know,
I mean, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been interesting how
global.
It's
developed.
It's a global revolution.
It really is.
As of people waking up. Let me interject for one moment. I need to play a little clip for promotional purposes. It'll take about 1 minute. We'll come back to our conversation.
Okay.
Gentlemen, the Sunday show is brought to you by Roundtree7.com, bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. Surf on over and check us out.
I've been living on the evening news.
right, we're back. I want to remind folks, too, we have a brand new post up over at Roundtree that Stella.
Oh, great, Stella by Starlight.
Yeah, has posted today, having to do with support for the Black Friday strikes by Target and Walmart. And
yes, that's a great development, isn't it?
Yes.
Very important stuff. And since she's in the chat room, maybe she'll call in and give us a little capsule of what she.
I hope so.
All right.
I drove by my neighborhood Walmart the other day, and there were two fellas out there with a gigantic handheld sign that said, "Shame on you, Walmart." It was clearly visible for a long distance. So,
so they were not on Walmart property, I'm assuming.
They were on the edge of the lawn. technically, I suppose they were not, but they're right by it, you know. So
I've boycotted Walmart for so long that, you know, I can't even remember when I didn't. Hi, you're on Here Be Monsters. Who's calling?
This is Stella Johnson.
Hi, Stella.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to hear from you again.
Good to hear all of you guys. I've had some technical difficulties on the computer, so I'm calling in.
Oh, great. Well, we're glad you did.
Thank you.
Maybe you'll give us a little synopsis of your post today, because that's an important issue. It needs to be out there. More people know about it. Give us a soundbite, will you?
Thank you, ma'am. My basic synopsis is that we really, really have to support local businesses, and this whole Black Friday thing has just been pushed up to insanity. We've got places like Walmart and Target that want to get their employees working at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving evening, which is just...
Yeah, disgusting. They'll have them working Christmas Day pretty soon, though.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I do have... petitions at the post that you guys can sign.
Great.
I've also added a petition to boycott Macy's because they're selling a lot of Trump-related materials. You'll find out why when you get on there.
Mm-hmm.
And a
Great.
Lot of this is just basically to boycott the whole Christmas insanity and to start thinking about, you know, what the holidays, Christmas,
really
Hanukkah.
Are about.
Yeah, exactly. So
well put, Stella. I can't wait to read that. I'll be very anxious to read that.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just basically, we're not, you know, I'm at the point where I feel that giving presents is just not a good idea anymore, and we should be giving presents, you know, to each other throughout the year.
Yeah, good point. Or, you know, you could go shovel your neighbor's walkway or something, you know, instead of having to buy something,
present.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly, and those suggestions are on there, and any suggestions that anyone has, please comment, because there's so many other things that we could be doing other than buying stuff at Target and Walmart. But I'd like to really beg everybody and ask and plead that everyone boycott Walmart and Target this year because of what they're doing to their employees.
Yeah, oh, they are. They're terrible.
Yeah,
they are terrible.
Yeah, so... You know, it's kind of a dual, the post is a dual, kind of a dual idea. It's to remind people that gift-giving is not necessarily what Christmas or the holidays are all about, and also to look at what some of these stores are doing to the people that are working for them.
Well, it's cheapened the whole notion of Christmas, for example, and it's turned it into a commercial item rather than a true gift or a true gift giving scenario or a good neighborly thing to do. It's just gotten out of hand.
Here's the thing, with full Dickensian wings on my back here, when industrialization settled in and a generation of people under industrialization and great urban areas all through the Western world. It created, you know, and I know, and this is why we have labor unions and such now, but it really oppressed the people and took the lives of the common people and just used them up. And it fomented revolutionary stand in many countries. Mm-hmm. And The idea of the Christmas bonus was used as a Band-Aid to assuage the politics of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And the Christmas bonus and the gift-giving and all this commercialization was born out of, you know, the wrongness of huge industrialists against the common man.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Absolutely. And I think your point about going back to a more Dickensian society is dead on, because that seems to be where we're returning. This whole idea of, you know, these corporations turning into, in effect, what are workshops, and certainly what's going on, what they're doing, importing goods from China, which are basically, they're basically using sweatshop labor.
Exactly.
It's just unacceptable.
For the profit of the rich company owners over there and the rich importers here, and for the profit of virtually nobody else.
Absolutely. I've made a point on more than one occasion that we need to start taxing companies that are sending basically jobs overseas and allowing
big time.
This money to, you know, this money to be, are basically companies that are supporting this whole sweatshop mentality.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
Stella Johnson for president and Congress.
Oh, I don't know about that. Not ready for that yet.
Well, I love your ideas, and we need them advanced.
the ideas are there. How to put them into practice is what we all need to do. That
right,
we're all basically a part of this, and we all need to work together to get this change. What I think Gwendolyn would call a paradigm shift.
Big time.
Yeah.
Well, Stella, how nice of you to call in. I'm so glad to hear from you. It's been so long.
Absolutely.
So we hope you'll be a little more evident on our pages and stuff from now on, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a problem getting into the comments section, so there was the phone number, and that's what I did. So, hello.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. And we encourage you to write into Roundtree 7. Now, you have your own blog, too, don't you?
No, actually, I'm only with Roundtree 7 now. And
oh, good. Yeah, you're good.
There.
Good. Okay. Great.
And
great.
So I used to run a blog called Swift Speech, for those of you who remember it.
I do remember it. That's right.
So now I'm staying with all the good people at Roundtree 7, and I am very, very honored to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, no doubt about it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, and we'll look forward to future articles and those brilliant posts. So keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
and I'm looking.
Oh, hello.
Yes,
It was a great post, Stella. I would also urge people to support your local makers. All those little mom and pop shops that are in so many towns and cities all across the world and all across this country.
Like Daughters of Isis, for one.
I go, oh, come on now. I'm trying to get a plug in here, Jack.
I was helping you.
Really? Try it.
DaughtersDevices.com. But, yes, little makers are really important out there, because these are us. They are us. And I think more and more folks are having to turn to that just to get by. So it's real important to keep your eyes open for them, because that's how we really make it locally sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the more money we spend at box stores, the more impoverished we become, because we're just basically selling off our local businesses. And we end up paying a lot more in the long run.
Right.
Well put. Well put.
Very true.
Okay,
good.
Thank you much.
Yeah, thank you, Stella. And, Ra, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Great, sounds great.
Good.
Yeah, that's, we encourage people to listen to your show as well.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Can I ask you a question, Ruth Ann? This morning I saw on Huffington Post, unfortunately, I've gotten into the habit, and I just push H on my bar, and it goes there immediately. I saw the outline for it's all been changing up everything to do with Gaza and Israel. Now, is this going on consistently? Is this bombardment going on? Because I have not read it. Can you give us a small capsule again of what is really taking place over there so people listening?
Yeah, it is still going on. It was today that the house was bombed where the 12 people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other incidences, like 3 people here, 2 people there. 29 were killed today.
Wow.
So this is definitely still going on. It started when Israel shot a drone in to assassinate one of the supposedly higher ranking Hamas
military
people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He was the highest ranking one that they've killed since Cass led.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just it. They had also, either right before that or right after, killed one child and maybe injured a couple others who were playing football. We say soccer. But
right,
they were just out there, and a drone came in. So some of the people in Gaza, and this is not Hamas-sponsored, but some rockets have been fired, very few, and it's
mm-hmm.
so stupid when the Israelis say, well, they're defending themselves. You know, one homemade rocket from Gaza versus
mm-hmm.
all these F-16s and F-22s and all these.
One
of the reports that I read today said that some of the hospital workers were saying that the injuries on the people brought in were reminding them of what happened during Cass Led, and we all know that they use white phosphorus then, which burns into your body and pretty much does its job. Of course,
if you
saw the canisters and all from that, it was made in the U.S., you know,
mm-hmm.
just to
of course.
Be aware, yes.
Well, and here's something that people should really keep in mind, because I think folks might listen to this and get also, first of all, caller from area code 204. I'm sorry, you're dropped. I opened your mic. We would have had you on in the next moment. And the other thing is that, you know, folks, you can do something over here about this. You can email or call your representative or your state senator or state representative and national representatives and
mm-hmm.
senators, and also
mm-hmm.
the White House, and let them know what you think about what's going on between Israel and Palestine. It's important
mm-hmm.
because especially when you call in,
mm-hmm.
they take that into consideration. It's the constituency responding, and they are
mm-hmm.
mindful of votes.
Right.
Yeah, they really are.
Good
and they're
point.
Also very polite.
Mm-hmm.
When you call, I've never had
mm-hmm.
anyone
yeah.
be rude to me.
No, right. Very good point, ladies. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I have to backwalk that one. During the last election here,
mm-hmm.
I called Scott Brown, Representative or Senator Brown's campaign office,
mm-hmm.
To speak to someone and say that, you know, I thought what he had actually done in his campaigners had done to Elizabeth Warren was uncalled for. But
mm-hmm.
his people, his campaign, one of his assistant campaign managers was really rude and cussed at me.
Oh.
I guess that's why he lost, isn't it? No, huh?
Okay, that's
have that
unusual,
attitude.
I think. That's,
they have
that
attitude. That's very irresponsible.
Well, and that was 3 or 4 days
Dolphin.
Before. So I was really surprised.
That surprises me. Yeah.
Well, look at what his staff did prior to her election, prior to the election. They paraded one day. It didn't last very long, but they paraded one day with a bunch of signs and stuff questioning her authenticity as a Native American, you know?
Yeah. He maybe didn't have the best...
he didn't have the best
representatives
staff.
Of him.
No.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
true. Yeah, they. I think they embarrassed him and his campaign by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was clearly racially motivated, and we had enough of that. We don't need any more of that kind of nonsensical stuff.
Definitely don't.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just throw it out the door.
I mean, there's enough to disagree with people about.
Exactly.
Without getting into their color,
personal issues
or
like that. Yeah,
culture.
Silly.
Sure,
because
those are the
silly.
Easy things to pick on.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Well, it's something that, you know, basically I have almost the same story as Ra. I went in for surgery, I came out, and I changed my horses in midstream from Hillary to Obama at that point, went on that ride. And yet my political awareness was brought up 100% again, and it hadn't been really since college. And I have to say that when you care to know what's going on with your world, and I think many more people are waking up right now, you call in. When the Gulf BP thing happened, I began to call the White House, and I would call sometimes 5 days a week. And it's really, they listen to you. They're very polite. I've got a lady at the White House who knows my voice, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. You got your personal fan club at the White House. That's pretty good.
I would say that. I'd say the SS probably has a file on me, but they I'm not.
Well, I'm sure they do, but.
Well, I hope they read it often and learn from it.
You know, they've got to know that I'm a political activist and that I'm not, because I actually was called after all of that. I was called by the Obama campaign out of Tampa to come and work for them again. And they got on the phone with me like four times, and the DCC down here called me too. And what I did was I got out the vote, but I did not campaign for anybody, you know.
Right.
It's important to get the vote out. But the point
is. It sure is, yeah.
They do listen, and Stella wants folks to know reps tend to consider each contact as 10 constituents. So if you call in to, you know, like for me it would be Senator Rubio's office and tell him that I think he's a warmonger for supporting Israel, that's like people are going to say, ooh, 10 people are pissed.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so that's the ratio. Yeah.
Well,
May I say something more about Gaza right now? I'm on the computer at Irish Friends of Palestine. They posted about an hour ago. The update is 3 more casualties in Rafah, and an old woman was found dead under the rubble in La Rafah. So Rafah was the border crossing that Egypt had said they would keep open 24/7 when this started. However, the Zionists, being great strategists, bombed right by it, so Egypt closed it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's terrible. You know what, folks? We're down to our last minute. I want to thank you, Ra.
Thanks so much.
Yes, thanks, Ra. Thank you, Ra.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime, you bet. Come on back.
And yes, I look forward to having you back on the political talk. And Jack, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen.
And Stella, wherever you are out there, honey, thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
don't
Stella,
forget,
good to have you around.
Don't forget to take care of Walmart, Macy's, and Target. As you go to get
take care of them by not shopping them,
right? and support your local makers, including DaughtersOfISIS.com. Go on over there; you'll find some wonderful sensuality to gift for the season.
Very true.
And charity. So, folks, that's our show for tonight, and really appreciate you stopping in to listen.
Thank you, Gwen, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
If you're listening to Archive, this has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. We thank you for popping in, and we will be back next week.
Look forward to it. See you then.
Good night, Jack.
Good night. Bye-bye.